The World Health Organization says there was a lost opportunity over the summer to prepare for a second wave of COVID-19. Infection rates have been increasing sharply in many European countries, with new restrictions being imposed to try to contain the virus. The 14-day incidence rate here is above 300 per 100,000. That's up from just 3 per 100,000 in June. We've been talking this lunchtime to Dr. Margaret Harris, spokesperson for the World Health Organization. What did she think had gone so wrong here?
I think overall, especially in Europe, there was a lot of relaxation. There was a kind of perception that we'd reached the finish line, did a good job, and it was time to relax and celebrate. Now, you and I have had conversations over the time about that we had to keep on suppressing, but that message didn't really get through to people in many, many countries. So they really went back to what was the previous normal, not really recognizing. And this was at all levels. Can't blame just one group of people. Not really recognizing that we are in a new normal and we have to find our way through this new normal.
So we perhaps opened up too much, too quickly, and there's a lesson there.
There is a lesson there. And it's not so much we opened up, but we also thought that we were going back to how it was. Now, we have to navigate a better way of living, a way that protects us, not just from this particular virus, but anything that's coming in the future.
But we're now heading into this period of much more severe restrictions than certainly we've had over the last number of months. And I suppose people are wondering, what then, after that, even if we bring the numbers down, are we facing this series perhaps of rolling lockdowns until there's a vaccine?
So we have seen in countries that you don't have to go into lockdown all the time. Now, lockdowns do work. They bring your numbers down, but they come at a great economic and social cost. So what we want to see is people doing it all at all levels. So for governments, track, trace, isolate, and not just track the immediate contacts. Go back, look at the clusters of infection, because this virus really transmits via clusters. Go back and identify everyone who's been in that cluster and everyone who may be unknowingly feeding other clusters.
You've emphasised again the importance of individual responsibility in tackling this virus, and your colleague Mike Ryan was speaking at a virtual online conference this week in Ireland saying that young people are sick of being told what not to do. How does the message, the public health message, effectively conveyed to everybody so as those behavioural changes are understood and put into practice?
It's very important to first of all understand what people are hearing, what people are thinking, but also to enable them to do it. People, by and large, want to help. But if they're asked to, say, self-isolate, and it's difficult for them to do it, or nobody's actually calling them every day and saying, how are you, have you got illness, and nobody's assisting them with, say, delivery of food, or there's not as something in place that says it's acceptable for you not to go to your place of work because you are self-isolating. So all those things have to be in place. Even the small things, like if you ask people to wash their hands, are you providing hand sanitizer everywhere? Are you making it possible for people to do that? Again, if you're asking people to wear masks, they may have come out without the mask. Is it possible to be providing the mask supply? I know, for instance, in hospitals here in Switzerland, you go to the hospital, there's a person standing outside with a mask to make sure you wear it. So all those things have to be thought through and done. Let's stop blaming the young people. We all need to start. We all need to become lifesavers.
In relation to vaccines and treatments, there's some optimism around at the moment. Is that just hoping against hope, or is it well-grounded?
There is a lot of reason to be very optimistic that we will have a vaccine candidate and it will be a good vaccine ultimately, because we have 200 candidates in some kind of development. We've got 10 that are going to the last phase, but that doesn't guarantee that any of them have the two things that we at WHO insist on, and that first is a very good safety profile, and second is a decent level of efficacy. And what I mean by that it protects 60 to 70% of people. so that you can imagine if you're vaccinated, you think you're protected. But if you've got something that's got low efficacy, like 30% or something, then most of the people who get it are not protected. So, in fact, they will be going out thinking, I'm fine, and in fact, they're not, and the pandemic could be made worse. The other thing is, even when we've got the vaccine, we need to ensure that it's provided to the people in the highest risk categories, and that's, again, the frontline workers, because they're exposed most, but also people with underlying conditions, and we need to ensure that that happens simultaneously around the world. So it is not something that's going to be available to everybody quickly.
And the earliest at which it might be available?
We're looking again, if all goes well, we're going to be assessing the vaccines head-to-head, the sort of leading candidates, and seeing which ones come out as the potential one. And then that's probably going to happen early next year. And from that, once we've got one, the scaling up in the manufacturing and the distribution means, if all goes well, sort of middle of next year is the timeline we're looking at.
And that was Dr. Margaret Harris speaking to us from the headquarters of the World Health Organization in Switzerland.